Well, hey, everybody, I'm Tim, and welcome to Cigars Daily Live, coming to you from sunny Phoenix, Arizona, with a very special, very hate-filled episode.
Hate.
I do think there's a limit on number of times we're allowed to say that before it's hate speech. If you make a whole speech out of the same word, doesn't it technically become that? All right.
Yes.
So tonight, guys, we are talking about something very serious. I don't like to throw shade in the cigar community very much because cigar people are typically so good. But tonight's episode is about 13 things I hate about Cigar Dojo. Those rat bastards. All right. Eric Gunnarsson and his boy and their team over there. I'm going to say this up front, okay? And I'm just going to get it out. I'm going to put it all out on the table right now. I love the cigar industry. I love the people in the cigar industry. I think they're absolutely outstanding. Very rarely do I see a person in the cigar industry that I don't like for any reason, although there are a few. I'll say this, though. When it comes to cigar makers and cigar content creators, I almost never find myself getting jealous or envious of anything anyone else does. If there's somebody who's better at something than me, typically I'm excited because it represents a great and amazing challenge for me to figure something out, learn something new, and grow a personal skill. It's one of the many great things about this industry. But damn it, if Cigar Dojo doesn't put out the best, like, what do you call them? Collaborative cigars out there. And when I saw this Sopremesa A Brule Awagazi, I instantly hated it and Steve Saka for making it for them because it's such a brilliant idea. And so now here we are as the Dunbarton Sopremesa Awagazi started hitting the shelves. Thank you for putting it up there so I don't have to touch it or hold it. I'm so angry about it. I don't even want to look at the damn thing. This cigar is hitting the shelves of cigar shops across the country, and it's beautiful, and it's great. And you know what? For what it's worth, I'm smoking it right now, and it's really good. And everything Cigar Dojo does looks as good as it tastes, and they've got these amazing cigars with all these other cigar makers out there. So here I am, a little butthurt about it, and still, after a decade in the cigar industry, trying to figure out how to be as cool as Eric Gunnarsson, who, by the way, another thing about that guy that I just cannot stand, full head of hair. He just got a full head.
Is that reason number 14?
It's reason number 14. And his hair like stands up on the front like this, like he's cool. I don't know. I don't like it. Anyway, Cigar Dojo, another content creator in the cigar world, and they make outstanding content. You guys should check out their channel. If you haven't done so, you can subscribe. Also, here's another thing. They do like 17 live episodes a week. Have you guys ever seen this? They do like a live episode and a pairing episode and then this live and that live. They've got a lot more people doing their stuff than we do. But here at Cigars Daily Live, we want to give you guys the best bang for your time buck that we can. So tonight on this episode, my name is Tim. I'm the host. And all of you watching at home, you're the co-host. Your comments and your questions will help us drive this episode right to the edge of the samurai sword of the Wagashi Samurai. And to help me run this thing, behind the camera is Bailey the Kid and Pippi Long Terrence. Yeah.
What's up,
Pippi Long Terrence? Dude, look at you.
Yeah. Finally got a haircut. I don't look homeless anymore. It feels good.
I don't know if that's not homeless. I don't know if what I'm going to say about that is that it's not homeless. Your tie says not homeless.
My tie definitely says that I employed. Yes.
My tie, the tie says I mugged a guy with a tie with a haircut. I don't know. What do you call this hairstyle? Do you have a name for it?
They're just braids. I took my dreadlocks and I braided them. Yeah.
Dread braids.
Draids.
Draids.
Draids. Draids.
Draids sounds like a disease that you would get.
I might got it. I don't know.
Mike gave my girlfriend draids. I got it from my mistress. Oh, no. It's not great.
All right. I want to take some comments from all of you watching home. Obviously, tonight, we are talking about a big deal. A few new launches, a few new releases, and then I'm going to jump into your comments. So drop your comments and questions down below. The first one, of course, is Umbagog from Dunbarton Tobacco and Trust. The new Umbagog Bronzeback that utilizes a different type of Connecticut broadleaf leaf. I'm going to intentionally talk about it because I know I'll say enough things wrong that Steve Sakwa will have to create a video to rebuke me. So I'm going to talk about it as if I know everything about the Leaf for this new, what is it called, like an LP2?
LG2.
Yeah, it's got a 5G Connecticut broadleaf wrapper, and it's absolutely outstanding. In addition to that, you guys are excited about this. And by the way, sitting third chair tonight, who's also very excited about this, is Ryan, destroyer of Liga Privadas, who's currently destroying a Stillwell star. You can put that graphic up next to him, I think. The Stillwell star, now it's called the Aromatic number 22. And that cigar is the Holiday Y22 from 2022. And it was like far and away the most like amazing limited production cigar Steve Sakwa's done since he started Dunbarton. And it's like, and what did we say the flavor was? Horchata.
Horchata and lots of chocolate.
Lots of chocolate horchata.
Chocolate horchata.
Wagashi.
All right. So that is back out as a regular production blend. Turns out the tobacco that went into this wasn't so special after all. You just make it all the time. And then the big one I already mentioned is the Sobre Mesa Brulee Wagashi in conjunction with Cigar Dojo. And the by the way, all 13 things that I hate about Cigar Dojo are in this box. They're the 13-count box. It's a 13-count box. All of them are in here. This is obscene to me. And they've done a bunch of cool ones. Like, and we were talking. I ruined the joke, Terrence. I ruined it. But Terrence literally pulled out an Espinosa Sensei's Sensational Sarsaparilla, which is a great cigar. Agreed. That really has this sarsaparilla flavor characteristic.
Gosh, don't spill it on the keyboard, Terrence.
At least the ash won't mess up the keyboard like an actual root beer.
It does.
Long term, it does. But instantly, it wouldn't be as bad.
All right, we have a truckload to talk about tonight. But I do want to invite somebody to come say hi, who's here right now, that I did not ask if that was okay. The wrench is here. My wife, the wrench. So we can take one comment for Allison if somebody has one on the tip of their tongue. She's doing this with her hair right now so that she can look good. Hey, say hi. Say hi, love. You got to get really close to the mic.
Hello.
Can you give him a wagashi?
Wagashi.
Okay, good. Very good. Allison can answer one or two questions while she's here. She just popped in to get medicine for our dog that I didn't bring home. I was supposed to bring the dog meds
home. You brought the dog home, but not the medicine?
I brought the dog home, and I did not remember to bring home the dog's medicine. NY Diesel in Florida says, Lady Swanson, hello there. How you doing? Yeah. I think it's because you're a mod. We don't know why there's a wrench by it. All right, I'm going to have you answer right into the microphone, and I'll hold it up to your mouth so that you don't have to try to get. Do you have a single sister?
I have only brothers.
But they're hot.
Are they single?
So if you want to do that.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. We're not judging. All right, give us one more comment, and then she's got to go give medicine to the dog before she starts to secrete like fluids. Colin M., how does Allison put up with Tim? What is the secret to marriage?
Oh, no. You know I overthink everything like that.
This is good. We're going to be here for a minute, guys.
It's that we're both weird. Like, I guess that's it. Both of us are weird. So it works. You just both have to be weird.
Ah, okay. Yeah, right? That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird. The weird thing is, I'll take your hand. This is the love. The weird thing is, first of all, she's short enough that I can put her in front of the camera. She doesn't have to sit down. For me, very convenient. Second of all, we are cool liking the same stuff as each other. Like, she smokes cigars with me. And what do you like? Do you like stuff?
Me?
We don't do the stuff that you like, but if you wanted to, we could.
Do you guys like food?
Yeah. Oh, we got to eat. She likes food. That's right. Her love language is food. And so, yes.
I love you.
Thanks for coming on the show. All right.
Woo!
All right, let's take some comments from the fine people at home. Billy, drop all of your cigar comments and questions down below. Of course, all the new Dunbarton stuff is out, and you can see it in all of its splendor and glory somewhere here. Isn't there a thing? Yeah,
yes.
There you go. Right there. the new Umbagog, along with the new Wagashi, and the Stillwell Star Aromatic number 22. I've been smoking through these. They literally just arrived here today. So all these pictures are hot off the presses. We can answer questions about those. And I will say more than I actually am aware of on Steve Saka cigars intentionally. So let's go ahead and grab some of those, Billy. Show me some beautiful bean footage. Chris Sosa on Facebook. Oh, we want to hear about HabanoCon.
There's a lot of comments.
You getting a lot of comments about HabanoCon?
What?
HabanoCon.
Oh.
Let's go through those real fast.
Okay. Joshua Dillenbeck, who I got a chance to have a conversation with at HabanoCon. Before I read his comment, here's what I got to tell you. If you come to the Cigars Daily HQ and I get to meet you, I will not remember your name. Unless it's also your screen name. Because when Josh, he came up to me, he's like, I'm Joshua Dillenbeck. And I was like, I know exactly who you are.
Yeah.
And another guy came up to me who's been in the HQ a half a dozen times. He's like, what's my name? And I was like, I don't know.
Was it Nathan again?
It was Wyatt.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I will remember it last time because he really shamed me about it a lot. Joshua Dillenbeck says, Tim and crew, thank you for all the hard work at HabanoCon. I know it was probably a lot to prepare and run as smoothly as it did. Listen to that.
All right.
Because all we could talk about here today is all the things that didn't go well.
It means it wasn't noticeable to them.
It wasn't noticeable to them. And the Cigars Daily Nation really appreciate it. Thank you, Joshua Dillenbeck. And yes, we are taking some comments about HabanoCon. This is like the mega herf we did at the Cigars Daily HQ. Had a huge turnout for it. And I want to take one or two more comments. And then I actually brought some stuff to show you about HabanoCon. So if you didn't get to make it there, we'll give you guys the inside scoop. And I did do a video at it as well that I'll be releasing this week. All right. Give me one more comment, Billy. Are there more or was that the only one? James Anderson. Good evening, Cigars Daily Nation. Had a blast at HabanoCon. Grabbed a shite load of cigars and waiting on my blackened backpack and spray paint can lighter to arrive. Thank you, James. So this happened at HabanoCon. Literally, Drew Estate sent a bunch of swag for people. And some of the people got the swag. Well, that swag, the tracking for it just stopped in like Alabama and disappeared. So I called my dear friend Michelle over at Drew Estate. And I said, hey, HabanoCon's tomorrow. Like, are you ready for this thing? She said, yeah, tell me about all the swag that they sent. And I said, I thought they sent the swag to you. I haven't gotten anything. And she literally wrote down people's home addresses and Drew Estate individually shipped swag to people.
Oh, wow.
Which is like a huge solid.
I was actually going to ask you about this in a meeting eventually.
Yeah. That like, can you imagine like being in the Drew Estate warehouse and like you're shipping these big box orders to, you know, to cigar shops all over the United States? Like you're palletizing 15 containers with a 1500 cigars on it and stuff. And they're like, we need you to send this backpack to this, you know, to James. Here's James. Send him this backpack. You're like, oh, okay. That was easy. That one was simple. All right. Thank you, James. Appreciate it.
Unless this has happened before and they're used to this.
Unless they're like, oh, great. We got to send 50 backpacks today. All right.
I mean, DE has some good swag. I know they mail out a bunch. They have to.
Dude, she had Drew Estate luggage.
Yes.
Did you see that?
Yes, they had the back. Oh, I wish I got the backpack. It was sick.
I can't believe that we didn't get the demo. I feel like we should have kept the demo here.
Yeah. Well,
I thought we did keep the demo, and it's a very bummer we didn't.
Yeah.
No, she threw that in the back of her car and drove off with it, man. It's at the sunset.
Next time you guys need to be more attentive about helping carry stuff back to cars.
Yeah.
So I don't know. With my hair like this, she wouldn't trust me to take it to her car.
But you wear that tie. All right, let's get another one. Next comment right here. Is this another HabanoCon comment?
I can pull another HabanoCon comment.
Grab one more, and then I want to take cigar comments and questions because those are the ones. That's why we all come here. I mean, it's technically a cigars, but I want to show my HabanoCon video that I did. Jake Golden says, it was a blast. Everyone was nice and meeting the crew was awesome. We hung out with his uncles for like 4 hours just telling stories. Jake might have been at the table, or maybe it was Jake, who was my birthday boy from Oregon, whose name I now forget because I don't know his screen name. All right, so we did have one crew here. It was a guy and his wife, might have been Jake. and his friends who all bought a ticket for him for his birthday to come out to HabanoCon. And I guess he looked at it and said, we weren't going to be able to do it. But then they all like pitched in together to surprise him. So here are three big takeaways for me from HabanoCon. I'm going to show you guys a video of it. Then I'm going to give you my three big takeaways. And then I see a comment about 69% humidity, which is hilarious. We're going to take that in just a second. All right. So let's go ahead and Terrence, it cuts off our mics when we do this. Yep. But just so you guys know, if I can give you a look inside what this was like here at the Cigars Daily HQ, this is what it was. I'm going to do a longer video on it. But after I play you this little bumper here, I'll give you my feedback from the whole thing. But here's what HabanoCon is. How's it going, everybody?
All right.
Woo! Welcome to HabanoCon. S84, shades of black. The blend is out now. How has it gone versus your expectations of what you sort of, how's the reception?
Welcome, and you're missing out because you're not here. That's fun with us. Look around and how much fun we're having.
So as you can see from the way I edited together to make it look as successful as is humanly possible, by the way, can I tell you what one of my favorite things in editing is? I love going to the movie theater and watching the previews before the movie because they can take the worst movie and make it look like something I have to go see.
Like
case in point, case in point, the movie Civil War. But truthfully, this was an amazing event, and here are my top takeaways from it. First of all, doing this event was for me about answering the question, am I going to have to do this again? And truthfully, if it wasn't successful enough, if people didn't like it, didn't want to come back and didn't enjoy themselves, I wasn't going to do it again. I have no, like, I have no pride about saying that. Like, I would have just been like, it didn't work. It wasn't great. People didn't love it and then come back. But people really came, like a lot of people came, and everybody had a great time. I was amazed at how much like coming and sitting around and doing what we normally do on a Monday night together was like what everybody really wanted to do. So we're going to do it again. That was a first takeaway. And we're going to do it again this year. So that was another big takeaway for me.
What?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Terrence is going to do everything we did again this year, which, by the way, nobody in this room has recovered from HabanoCon yet. No. Is that fair to say?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. You're.
Yeah, no, I'm still sore and tired, and I'm ready to go to sleep right now.
Yeah. I mean, mine was pretty easy. I just had to walk around, shake some hands, kiss some babies.
But yeah, kiss some babies. Yeah, ride in on your private car.
yacht pulled up.
Your limousine with the chauffeur came by.
Yeah. And by the way, the entire time at HabanoCon, Billy was coming up to me being like, dude, what do you need? How can I help you? Like, just the best attitude ever. And Terrence and Ryan didn't do that only because I had them working fully every second of the day. But it was really helpful. But I do know what we're going to have you do at the next one. But here's what to expect at the next HabanoCon that's coming up later this year. This is going to happen. I'm going to start planning it immediately, right away. We're going to do it in either late October or early November.
Ooh.
And it's something I'd like to be able to do twice a year. You know, we're not the only ones who've done like a cigar festival. There's other ones like Cigar Fest and Rocky Mountain Cigar Festival and the Great Smoke. And I mean, New England Cigar Festival. And there's like, I could probably name off 10 of them if I had a few minutes. But what we wanted to do was give everybody a chance to get together and have a lot of fun. And like get together as a community. And instead of trying to do like a full 2-day festival thing with all the hullabaloo, I was like, why don't we just do it twice a year and do our 1-day deal? And that's what we're going to do. And so if that makes sense for everybody, you can expect to hear more about another one. And by the way, another takeaway for me, I'm not crazy about the name HabanoCon.
No,
I don't know if everybody is. I'd love to hear from you guys in the comments what you think about the whole HabanoCon concept, like Habano convention. It rolled off the tongue. It was better than HabanaCon, which I honestly liked a lot better.
I liked how HabanaCon rolled off the tongue.
There's no Cuban cigars there. So, yeah. like, You can't do Havana Con. Also, and Cigars Daily Con is stupid sounding.
I was going to say, if you guys read the Half Wheel article, German government says you can't say Habano or Havana on packaging or anything like that anymore because Habano's essay is going to try to shutting that down in the international market.
Really?
Yeah.
So when we say it, we'll say it with a German accent. Habano's gone. Habano's gone. Well, maybe we keep it. Anyway, I want to hear from some people, but it was a blast. We're going to do it again. I think, you know, we had Oliva Nick there, which was great. We had Willie Herrera there. And like, truthfully, I want more people there. Like, I'm going to be picking up the phone and dialing up all my buddies in the cigar world to get them out there. Guys like Justin Andrews and Matt Booth and Laurel Tilley and like the best people in cigars. I want to be at that event so that we can really do, you know, what we love to do on Cigars Daily Live. So we can all do that together. Anyway, expect more of that. Texas Taurus says Maduro Con. Viking Con? No.
I think people will mistake that. They'll show up as a Viking.
People would dress as Viking.
Matt Booth would actually show up and he's like, yeah!
Matt Booth would show up naked. He'd show up in a loincloth with a pitchfork and he'd be like, I'm a Viking! All right.
I think we should change the name to that now.
To Becker Con! From Susan Swante. To Becker Con! I like that one. Yeah. Do you see some? The Grand Herf. Oh, wow. Dale. De Guzman, the Grand Herf. That has a nice ring to it.
Yeah, that sounds good.
I feel like a bunch of guys in Viking white cloaks would show up to that.
Yeah, yeah.
To the Grand Herf.
Le Grand Herf.
All right. I can't see anything out this mask.
I see a bunch of these. AZ Herf, trademarked from your... It's like trademarking
is... trademarking it right now.
That's a good way to get us to it. Daily Smoke 2024. That's not a bad one. I should have asked you guys before I did any of this crap. CD Con. That's not a good. Herf Viking Con. Slay Con from Josh Dillenbeck.
Slay Con is actually pretty fire. I'm not going to lie.
Herftoberfest. Gosh, that's a good one. I don't know. I'm honestly, I'm pulling a lot of these up on the screen so I can refer back to this later. CD Puff Fest from Nathan Schwaffer. I honestly felt like putting Puff in the title. Like communicated the wrong thing, kind of like the Viking one. I don't know who's going to show up to that. All right, Chicken Con from Kevin Gruel.
That's a good one. I support that.
Can we get your chickens at the next one?
We could probably make it happen. All right. Well, I brought a case of eggs to raffle off, and then we kind of forgot. So Ryan took them home.
Ryan took the eggs home.
Yeah, they're in my fridge.
All right,
this weekend's coming up.
You weren't supposed
to put
them in the fridge.
Why?
It's a whole thing, Ryan. We'll talk after.
We'll politic after this.
Got it.
All right. You guys can keep posting those. I see a lot of really good ones. They're way better than the garbage I was coming up with. So I'm going to go ahead and refer back to the comments on this. Pineapple Fest from NY Diesel.
Hey, I'm digging it.
Okay. Keep posting your guys' cigar comments and questions down below. We're going to get to those. If you haven't already heard about the new Dunbarton cigars that just dropped over the weekend, there's the new Umbagog, which is the Bronzeback, which uses a 5G, you know, Connecticut broadleaf wrapper. LTE. It's amazing. It's LTE. It's incredible. The new Wagashi, Dunbarton Brulee Wagashi. This is a great, great cigar, by the way. It's the one that I'm smoking right now and the one that Jim smoked today. And he literally looked at me. He's like, this is the best Brulee, which is stuff that like to him, he doesn't care. He'll just say exactly what he thinks because it doesn't matter when he says it. He just says what he wants to say. And even if it did matter what he said, he would still say exactly what he thinks. That's how Jim is. But he thinks this is the best of all the Brulee. He thinks it's better than the Brulee Blue. And he said that to me. And then the Stillwell Star Holiday. Damn it. Aromatic number 22, which is the Holiday Y22. You guys can learn more about these cigars on the community, on Cigars Daily Plus, where we're going to be going for the after party, which is working this week. So you can go over there in a little bit. All right. I want to take some comments from you guys. What's everybody talking about,
Billy? We have some cigar questions.
There are actual cigar questions.
There are.
All right. Yo, Gio. Yo, question. What's the best way to transport cigars when moving? So you're moving. You're packing up all your stuff. You're moving either to a new apartment, a new condo, a new house, or if you live in San Francisco, a new cardboard box. And I would say there's a few things you can do. At least this is how I would do it. And it really depends on how many cigars you have. If you have an acrylic jar, cram some newspaper in it and close it and seal it. Like, that's it. That's all you got to do. Even a lot of desktop humidors, you can just cram a bunch of newspaper in there and make sure the cigars won't move around. Shake it next to your ear. If you can hear anything, you got to put more newspaper in there and then move it. If you're just moving for a day or two, like, take the cigars in first, put them up. You'll set them up because it's time sensitive with them. It's not with your couch and your TV. Were you looking at me for a reason?
I did. I was. Because did you want to add something to that? Some postal workers the other day handling some boxes of cigars that were shipping around the nation.
Yeah.
And they do not handle those correctly.
No.
They, in any way, shape, or form.
I once shouted at a station manager for the way that she was handling packages. And I was like, yo, don't throw those. And she's like, well, you should see how they handle them down at the station when they're sorting them. I'm like, is that an excuse for you to throw them? Like, just because somebody else does, it means that your job should be done more crappily. Anyway,
Kobe.
Beside the point. Kobe.
That's pretty much it.
All right. If you're moving with cigars and you have a larger collection you want to move, here's legitimately what I would do. I would take them, if you have a larger humidor, put them in smaller containers, probably Tupperware. You want Boveda in there or some kind of humidification source that's not a jar of water, obviously. And then close them up, put some newspaper in there, make sure that they seal, and then separately transport your humidor. This humidor over my shoulder, when I've moved this, and I've moved this a few times, I've moved it probably three or four times now. We've moved this humidor, and it do not think it will survive another move. Literally take all of the trays out and then put the cigars into Tupperwares and then keep the trays out and tape the door closed and, you know, put it on a hand truck. And so if you're going to move, take extra special care of the cigars separately, make sure the humidor is in good shape. And you may need to reseason it when you get there. If your move changes your altitude or altimeter or your humidity or something like that, just make sure you take good care. All right. What's the next one, Billy? You got some good ones. Billy's been doing a lot of reading practice.
He's been a lot of reading tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Text 1695. Local shop got their shipment of Umbagog Bronze back. Smoked one immediately, and it's a damn good cigar.
Well, that's good.
Dude, I smoked a Bronze back today, and literally during this show, my intention is to smoke the Umbagashi, followed by the Bronze back, which is a great cigar. So if you guys haven't seen Steve Saka talk about this yet, you need to do your research.
Yeah.
Look it up, because he explains this. The LB2 or L, I think it's LP2, Connecticut Broadleaf.
It might be LB or LP, but I believe I'm leaning towards you, but you're,
I think it's
right.
The LP2. What he says is the way the broadleaf plant grows, and commence the infuriating Steve Saka with information that's enough inaccurate that he will say something to correct me. So the way broadleaf plant works in the field is when you grow broadleaf, one of the reasons it's not as desirable is that broadleaf plants don't grow as tall as your typical Habano seed tobacco plant will. Your typical Habano seed tobacco plant will grow, I've heard, up to 12 feet tall. Well, broadleaf grows a lot shorter, so the yield is a lot smaller. But then there are several levels to the leaf. And obviously the ones that grow further down don't get as much sun exposure as the ones that grow higher up. And the more sun exposure they get, sort of the better it is for a leaf that you're going to cure and put into a cigar. And so a lot of guys want to use these higher leaves for their broadleaf cigars. And so Steve Saka wanted to challenge himself to take one of these lower, where that grows lower on the plants. He calls it under medium, I guess, or something like that. It's under the middle part of the plant, and take this leaf and make a cigar with it. And that's what the Bronze back is. It doesn't have as much sweetness as the regular Umbagog, but it's more peppery, and in my opinion has a little bit more spice. It's like a lot more punchy of a cigar. So if you're the type of smoker that likes strength along with a nice complex flavor, the Umbagog Bronze back is that cigar for you. But like, also is kind of the way it goes when you make these really strong cigars. If you make a cigar that's really strong and really good and really chocolatey and powerful, like, you're probably also going to make a strong one that is peppery and spicy and bold. Like, I see that time and time again across a lot of different brands. I'll pick on Steve Saka first, very much so with the Mi Querida and then the Mi Querida Tricky Traca, right? Mm-hmm. Or you can go to another brand like Espinosa Cigars with the La Raña Escuro and the La Raña Azulejo, both very dark cigars that similarly, one is a little more peppery and spicy and one is a little smoother and earthier and more chocolatey. And even Foundation has it with the Tabernacle and the Tabernacle Havana Seed 142 or Liga Privada from Drew Estate, which has a Liga Privada number 9, which is smoother and earthy, and the Liga Privada T52, which is pepperier and spicier. This is, in my mind, a pretty natural way to do it. But when Steve Saka says that he wanted to challenge himself to use this type of broadleaf, like that is truly what he did. But he did produce something that I think is, I don't know, maybe it was predictable, maybe not. I don't know. But in any case, the new Umbagog is here. And the biggest highlight of that cigar is its like price point. As compared with a lot of the other stuff in Steve Saka's catalog, which ain't cheap. Mm-hmm. All right. It's this cigar is a sub $10 cigar. There you go. There we go. All right. Terrence, what you got? What you saying? What you seeing?
What am I seeing? I don't see comments.
Well, you've had the bronze back though, right?
I have had the bronze back, and it is definitely different than the regular Umbagog, I would say.
I remember you sitting on that bronze back for since I went to PCA. I gave you a bronze back and you wouldn't smoke it because you wanted to like have the experience when it came in. How did it live up to your expectations? Did it live up to its own hype in your mind?
So I've given up hype when it comes to cigars that I'm looking forward to because I don't always want to be disappointed. So I went in with an open mind, and it's definitely different. I will say that, yeah, the regular Umbagog is going to have a lot more chocolate. This one I felt was more complex. I thought it had more transitions, and I thought that the pepper and spice was a nice addition. It was more coffee compared to than chocolate, and I really did enjoy it. I don't know if I like it more than a regular Umbagog. I'd have to go back and smoke another one.
Like in a smoke down? Type situation?
Not necessarily a smoke down. I smoked down both of the blackened cigars, and they had just started tasting the same to me.
Yeah.
But I would definitely probably smoke one right after the other and see if they contrasted a little bit more than what I thought.
You did it. You smoked the S84 and the what is the other one? The
M81.
M81 and the S84 together, and you said they tasted too similar?
Yeah. So
what a trip.
My palate started amalgamating everything together. So the citrus notes that I was getting from the S84 was starting to come out of the M81, and the chocolate that I was getting from the M81 was starting to bring out some earthy, chocolatey, almost cinnamon type flavor profiles from the S84. I was also pairing with cash strength black and bourbon, but they started amalgamating together on my palate. So I think it would probably be more beneficial if I smoked one after another next time.
Okay. And I'm going to take one real quick from Nissan 570SX. Is the Liga Privada T52 supposed to be spicy? I'm in a third and haven't had any pepper at all yet. It's more peppery and more spicy than the Liga Privada number 9. Mm. And so I don't think it's characteristically overtly peppery the way that an Espinosa cigar would be, but more so than the number 9. Yes, it is supposed to be, and I believe it is that. Okay, keep going there, Bernie. What do we got? AZ Born Texas Living. Now, one of my local shops isn't getting the bronze back because the owner said it was too strong for him and messed up his palate. Is it really that strong?
Was it?
All right. Billy's like, what a wuss.
Yeah, Billy, you actually enjoyed the bronze back.
I did enjoy the bronze back, and I don't like super peppery. I mean, it's got a punch to it, but I would not say it was a strong cigar.
Does this same cigar shop owner have the Krakatoa in his deal? Because that's what I wonder. Ooh, X. The episode just went bad on X.
Uh-oh.
Oh, well,
yeah, I'll work on that.
Back. Tesla stock prices work on that. Dropping like crazy.
Yeah, so. X is probably like, you must pay to continue playing this episode on this platform.
You get 34 minutes on X and it's done for.
All right. Well, whatever. Nobody commented from X, so I don't care.
We got one last week.
We did get one. Go ahead. And wait, was I answering a question before that X thing?
Well, you asked if they had
Krakatoa.
Krakatoa, and he said, nope.
Well, I don't think it's too strong, and as far as strong cigars, I've been in the cigar world for now, I'm coming up on 10 years. Next year will be 10 years in cigars for me, and I can only think of one cigar that I thought was so strong that it turned me off that I still haven't gone back to smoke it, and that's Kane F. I have no interest in that.
I even smoked it last week.
2 weeks
ago. But I got to say this. I got to say this. I don't not have the Cane F in my humidor because I didn't like it. Like that, to me, that's not the mistake. Okay. It's not, is it too strong?
Right.
It's, if I don't like it, then I don't think anyone else will like it. And that's what I would ask the owner of your local cigar shop is, hold on a sec. Just because you don't like something means I shouldn't be able to get it.
Who else does that? Like, you don't go into a gym and they're like, I can't lift the heavy weight. So I keep the...
the girl at the front desk is like, all of our weights go up to 15 pounds.
Yeah.
We have rubber bands after that, okay?
Like, who does it? Like, you're missing out on money.
Yeah, I was about to say, you leave the money on the table, bro. You must hate money.
Yeah, that's exactly. Well, here there is a breed of cigar shop owner who functions like this. And AZ Born Texas Living, maybe this is your cigar shop owner. I don't know. I don't want to characterize the guy. I don't want to assume anything about him, except maybe this. Some guys run a cigar shop because they're old and they're retired and they're too cranky to get along with regular society. So they need a place where they can go for about 8 hours a day, where they can avoid their wife and smoke the cigars they want to smoke. And that is, I mean, a percentage of cigar shop smokers across America. Yeah. And they'll tell you that. A lot of the time, they'll be like, I just want to run the place in the black and smoke with my buddies. And my wife puts eye drops in my coffee in the morning, so I need a place where I can brew safe coffee. Stuff like that. So, I mean, maybe that's your cigar shop. You can comment if it is. If you think your local cigar shop, anyone watching, if you think your local cigar shop, the owner is there so that his wife won't slowly kill him by putting Clorox bleach into his eggs, like, drop a comment. Let us know. We'll pray for him.
Blink twice if they need help.
Blink twice if they need help. All right, Billy, get some more comments. There's a lot of them. They're flying.
We've got some more HabanoCon comments coming in.
Habano comments. All right. Wyatt Cora says, Mr. Pineapple had a root beer moment while signing my CD cup.
I didn't know that was Wyatt Corey.
Now I know who it was. Cool.
Yeah, you guys got to tell us your names when you come in, especially if you comment on the show a lot, because I'm pretty sure I messed up your cup too. The whole time I was signing your cup, Wyatt, I was trying to avoid the rain, the pouring, drenching flood of Terrence's signature draining down the side of your cup. Was that
the marker just started splooging
it was excited
cup.
It was
yeah
excited.
I was holding that back all day, Wyatt. Thank you for letting me use your cup for that.
I will say, those markers, you push them down a little too hard and they do
bring a leak.
They make a one of those.
I mean, I signed noises a lot and I never had a leak sprung.
You never
did sprung? You have one of those where you had to
I had the same one you did.
You only okay, never mind. I won't argue this. Okay.
We'll all go sign each other's chests later and see what happens.
Yes, see what happens.
After the show. Don't do that. It's going to be worth money, so I won't shower for a while.
That's right. Okay. Keep it coming, Billy.
I find this next comment a little offensive. I'm just saying.
Jake Golden says, also seeing Billy's wife in real life, I don't know how he managed to land that 10 out of 10.
Listen, is that supposed to mean, Jake?
I'm not gonna lie. You guys have seen Billy's wife comments on this show. Leave that comment up for a second. So first of all, I want to say this. Billy's wife is my friend. She is a 10 out of 10. Okay. But when we were at HabanoCon and Billy missed this, Oliva Nick came over to me and he was like, "Who is that?" And I was like, "That's Billy's wife." And it was like the cartoon dog's jaw falls straight to the ground. He's like, "What? That's Billy's wife? Like, what the hell is going on?" Yeah, as I say, your wife is disproportionately more attractive than you, Billy.
I like to think it's like the other guys where I'm Will Ferrell, and
yeah, she, yeah, dude,
the homeless person on showed up for me.
That's exactly right.
Yeah,
yeah. Was that Eva Longoria that was in that?
It was.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
yeah.
That was Eva Mendes.
Eva Mendes.
Come on. You're right.
My Evas aren't straight. Michelle is here. She says, oops, we love the nice guys. Yep, that's true.
Tell her to treat me better then.
That's true. All right. By the way, pineapple stickers are on the way.
Oh, you ain't have to say that.
They're going to be here. They're going to be here just for the ladies. Cigars are for the guys, but pineapple is for the ladies. All right. Let's keep cruising.
Wait, not that one.
No, I want to take that one. Dang it, Billy, took it down.
Wait, I was trying to do this one.
Billy's nickname is Gator.
Nice.
I was trying to do Gator this one. That way. Billy must have a huge cigar collection.
Five. Hey, it's enough.
All right. Thanks, Frankie Deuces. That's true. This is the best one. Billy must have been a project. Yeah, that's what happens. Attractive women just walk around. They see guys. They're like, oh, no. I can fix that.
I can fix it.
Yeah, I can fix that. All right.
Charity case men love us.
All right. Keep dropping your cigar comments. We veered straight off the cliff with comments here. Brandy Londis, Lodice, Brandy says, you gave my husband advice a few weeks ago on how to get me to accept his hobby. Instead, he converted me. I see you can't help. But if anyone knows how to get the smell out of your hair, oh, okay, then let me know. Yes, I do not know how to get the smell out of your hair. And someone did ask me at the show, they're like, what do you do about the smell? And I literally have given up. I smell like cigars all the time everywhere I go. Mm-hmm. So Brandy's on. Congratulations. Welcome to the world of cigars. Yeah. You're in a good place. Somebody left a comment earlier I saw, and they asked, was Habano Con a sausage fest? No, it was not. There was a huge number of guys and their wives there. It was like date night. Yeah. Thank you. Cool, man. Was it a giant sausage fest party like you thought? No, it wasn't. This was like now, I don't want to say family affair because there were no kids there, but like it was a lot of husbands and wives and couples who double dated and like very, very cool.
Yeah.
As far as getting the smoke smell out of your hair, I'm going to defer to Terrence on that one. Do you even try?
I guess.
Oh, okay. What do you do, Terrence?
Oh, I gave up.
You gave up. Your dread smell like smoke.
I wash my hair about 2 to 3 times a week, which is arguably too much in the first place.
Yeah.
At least for my hair texture. But I just know after a day or two, I'm going to keep smelling like tailpipe. And everybody just knows at this point.
Michelle says, oh, girl, my hair still smells like cigar from Habano Con. The only way is to wash it. I'm sorry. Which is, I know for girls is a thing. Washing your hair. It's a situation.
Yes.
It's like a whole thing. You try not to do it all the
time. Keeps you from it? Going on dates.
Yeah. That's right.
I heard.
But for what it's worth,
I agree. It's about 2 hour deal for me as well.
Is it really?
Oh yeah. I got to rinse, wash, repeat, and then conditioner for about an hour. And then if I want to do what I did this time, it takes a whole lot of work. So it's a 2 hour affair for my hair every time.
Brandy was her name.
Yes.
Okay. Brandy, if there's a picture that pops up online, maybe in the Facebook group of you smoking with your husband, but you're wearing like a shower cap or a bonnet or something. That's pick of the week material right there up front.
Wait, I spoke with a bonnet at home. Can I get pick of the week too?
You smoke with a bonnet?
Oh yeah.
Really smoke with a bonnet?
Yeah. I have my tank top sitting on my balcony, but I'll have my bonnet on. I look like somebody's grandma. Yes.
There's a joke I wanted to make, but we can't make it right now.
Make it on the after party.
Yeah. That's an after party joke. I want to see that too. There's a lot about this world that I still don't feel like I've gotten to see that I want to see before I die. That's one thing.
Here's a hint, Tim. It matches my tie.
Oh, wow. I religiously wear a hat, but only so I don't get skin cancer because my dad is also bald, terrified me about this one time. So now I wear a hat anytime I'm outside. Wow. Lots of hair.
Speaking
stuff.
Of photos.
Yep. Let's go ahead and do this. Oh, wait. No, Austin Lauren says, did we ever get the Guess the Home Humidor segment that Tim promised like a month ago? Yeah, no. And Terrence literally asked me today if I would put that in this episode, and I didn't because I was still trying to make sure the after party was going to work for Cigars Daily Plus. Mm-hmm. So that's why I haven't done it. So my excuses are, and just to be clear, excuses are unacceptable when someone's trying to give one to me, but I'm going to give one to all of you. My excuse is Habano Con and now Cigars Daily Plus. But that will be coming next week because we did all do pictures of our home humidors.
Did we?
Did you use that one?
Ryan did not.
All right. I know. And I've figured out how I want to do it too. But we're going to do a segment right now. We do almost every week on this show. When I remember, it's called the Cigars Daily Nation Pick of the Week. These pictures come from the Cigars Daily Nation Facebook group. And this week I wanted to honor a member of the group who is playing 4D chess with his life. Take a look right here.
Oh, this was sick.
All right, this one's from Jonathan G. Now, for the podcast listeners, I want to describe to you a magnum opus of a Facebook post.
Yes.
What's sitting on a wooden table is a wooden cutting board. On the wooden cutting board is smashed marble potatoes with garlic aioli and artisanal lemongrass roasted sea salt. Mm. On top of that is a Perdomo Habano bourbon barrel aged Connecticut, what looks like a Robusto. Behind that, a snifter with wild turkey. And then on the background, a computer screen that looks like he's queued up a fresh episode of the new show Fallout on Amazon Prime. This is the best thing a person can do.
Yeah.
Better than sex. Here's what he says. Better than sex. Perdomo Habano CT, aged in bourbon barrels. The cigar, this is really a long one. I didn't want to read the whole thing, but I like the picture enough. It's worth it. The cigar had a delicate Ecuadorian Connecticut wrapper, and a gold draw yielded a musty cedar note. On light up, the cigar had notes of cedar and a distinct buttery toasted sesame. A pleasant realization I had was that the hotter I burned, the deeper the sesame notes became. Despite having the filler blend of Nicaraguan tobacco from Jalapa, Condega, and Esteli regions, there was almost no pepper to speak of. You ended a sentence with an of. You're not supposed to do that. Halfway through, some hints of cream and coffee emerged, and the toasty notes subsided. Overall, it was a pleasant experience. There you go. Jonathan G, everybody. Jonathan G. All right. That is a...
You started sounding like the old lady that makes the costumes on The Incredibles.
Edna Mode.
No capes.
Yeah, that accent took a few turns.
There's some really good comments in here that I can absolutely not pull.
I'm taking one. Scott says Betty's gay. And you know what? We wouldn't scoff at him if he was.
Here you go.
All right, go for it. Texas Taurus. I'll be gay with him for that setup. Yep, 100%. All right, let's keep posting. Drop your comments and questions down below, and we'll take them. MN Drummer says this, and I gotta say this. Fallout is weird AF, but I couldn't stop watching it. And I gotta put this out there. MN Drummer, if you're saying that, I have to assume, and I don't want to make assumptions about you because I like you, that you haven't played Fallout. Because if you've played Fallout, then the show isn't weird.
Yeah.
It is a perfect, pinpoint, accurate, made-for-TV representation of the Fallout games, in my opinion. Like, they couldn't have nailed it better with a hammer. But if you didn't play Fallout, then the show is effing weird.
I didn't play Fallout. Would I like it?
I think, it got like a 93 on Rotten Tomatoes. Like when you watch it, the premise of the show is easy because, okay, for people who haven't watched Fallout, we're going to do this really quick. We're going to go back to cigars. Post your cigar comments and questions down below because I'm going to pivot really hard after I explain the premise of Fallout. It's 200 years after the nuclear apocalypse war, okay? And people are sort of emerging out of these Fallout shelters where they've been, you know, several 200 years worth of generations living underground to discover a wasteland that's mostly populated by mutated freaks of nature, like human ghouls and 2-foot cockroaches and super mutants and something called a death claw.
Oh.
So I'll tell you this. I read an article. I saw a headline for an article.
There we go.
I don't want to get caught up in this. I didn't read the article. I just read the headline. Sales of Fallout 4, the game, went up by 7,500% after the show came out.
Yeah, the game died after a year it came out, so I understand that.
But
how old is the game? How long did the game come out?
The game's been out for a long while.
16 or 2017.
Yeah, but I will say this. I went and bought the game last night. And I think the reason, and I started playing it, by the way, played it for like an hour and a half last night. And by the way, it killed the Deathclaw in the first hour.
Yeah, but they give you the power armor in that. Wait till you see one out in the wild.
I know. I had power armor. I had a Gatling gun, and I did kill a Deathclaw, and it took me like 4 tries. Anyways, beside the point.
Boss fight.
where was I going with the hell? Oh, the whole reason it went up is because it's like $5 to download right now. Mm-hmm. Fallout 76, which wasn't very good. All right. Yeah, we're going to take some of this. These aren't – you guys – First of all, you're not leaving cigar questions, which is what I need, because we need to pivot back to cigars pretty hard before viewership drops right off a cliff. Heinrich Berthold says 2015 it came out. Yes, ooh, it's 2015 is when it came out. 7 years ago was Fallout 4, which is not consistent with that 2015 number. Walton Goggins is really good in it. Yeah, he crushed the ghoul character.
Yes.
And he did, like, his makeup took like five hours every day. And then Cody, he's talking about Walton Goggins' character. How does the Fallout guy retrohale with no notes?
Maybe. Wait, isn't the sensors like inside your face, so he'd still be able to
get you? He wouldn't retrohale because he has no nose and therefore can't taste anything.
Yes.
But you can also shoot him an unlimited number of times and he won't die. So
nerds from Ray Manning.
Nerds. If you guys don't think that I have some Fallout related cigar content planned for the next 2 weeks, get that out of your head, because I do. And it's going to happen. And I'm buying costumes and it's going to be a whole thing. All right. Billy, has anyone talked about cigars in the comments?
You know, no, but this question came up.
Silicone Scribe says, Terrence, you ever see a white guy with dreads that worked? That's a fair question.
Yeah, I have.
Don't look at me.
No, not you.
It was Billy. No. It was Billy in 1996. He was great.
Yeah, I've seen it. It just depends on the person and their personality, but it works for a lot of different people.
All right. See, Frank Herrera says it. About to have a fallout with Cigars Daily if we don't get back on topic. All right. Drop your cigar comments and questions down below. We got a few more minutes before we go over to the after party. Of course, tonight we are jamming on the new Dunbarton cigars. Billy, can you take that down and put it back up? Umbagog, the bronze back, the new Awagashi Dojo, and the Stillwell Star Aromatic number 22, re-release of the holiday Stillwell Y22. Amazing cigars. And somehow Steve Sacca manages to just drop flavor bombs, flavor nukes.
Yes.
See how I'm transitioning away from the Fallout thing and into the cigar thing? Mm-hmm. Flavor nukes all over our taste buds every single year when he puts out these new cigars.
Can I say something about the, it's not the Y22, it's the Aromatic number 22.
Yeah.
I'm also smoking it. I like the cigar, but I don't like smoking it right now because it tastes like Christmas.
And it's not Christmas.
It's not Christmas.
I don't know, Ryan. And by the way, not a better statement you could make. That cigar tastes like Christmas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But when Sacca released it around Christmas, he then the following July did a Christmas in July thing, released it, and everybody loved it. I want to know if Ryan feels the same way, because you're smoking it, right?
No, I don't care when I smoke it. It does remind me of Christmas, but I'll smoke it all year round. I don't care. It's too good.
It's delicious.
It's too good to wait once a year.
They don't sell eggnog in July. I'll say that. I get what you're saying. So, and I'd be interested to hear what people think about that. Okay. Keep it going. Let's grab that comment that you had before. Gilbert says, I got a question, but I bet you've never been asked. Sometimes when I smoke a cigar, I get a really metallic taste that originates from one of the older fillings I've got in the back of my mouth. Why?
You can taste this filling. He's got really good taste buds. I said, yeah.
Actually,
no, you've never had before. Do you have metal fillings?
Yeah. I don't taste them.
No, sometimes you do taste that metal.
Maybe I've just got used to, I've had them since I was like 8 years old. So maybe I'm just used to them.
Maybe just everything tastes like metal to you.
Yeah.
I don't know. Cause usually like there's certain things that with a metal filling you'll bite down on and get that metal. Mm-hmm. And I know exactly what you're talking about. That like metal, there's a metal filling in my mouth and I can taste it right now. Taste. Terrence, have you tasted that taste?
No, I haven't tasted that taste. I also have metal fillings, but I haven't gotten that. Unless I'm like smoking a broadleaf, there's sometimes a metallic zing to it, but I don't necessarily taste like metal from my filling. And I've got this question from somebody because they were smoking a Cavalier. And when they got to the gold on the cigar, they were like, it clashes with the filling in my mouth. And I just taste like chlorine, chemicals, and metal.
That's exactly right.
And I just never had that issue. But this hasn't been a question that I've came across before.
Yeah. All right.
And I just tell them to eat something so that it coats their palate and then go back to smoking.
Okay. Let's keep cruising. Give me another comment here.
I feel like at the next HabanoCon or whatever we name it, it's going to turn into this. Well, actually, on episode 321, you said...
Billy previously said it tasted like Thanksgiving, okay, guys?
It tastes like the holidays, okay?
It's a holiday.
And that's why it was called Holiday Y22.
All right. I like it. Let's keep cruising. Billy?
Yeah.
What do we got for comments? We got time for
here's the one you started about the 69.
Ken A says, Tim, I just turned 69.
All right. 69.
All right, sweet.
And wanted my first tattoo of Saturn on my shoulder. I just turned 69 and want my first tattoo of Saturn on my shoulder. What do you think? And what cigar should I smoke when I get it? Okay. This is the question I've never been asked before, just to be clear. You thought the metal fillings question was a question I've never been asked before. It was actually this one. So I just turned 69 years old, and I want to get my first tattoo of the planet Saturn on my shoulder.
Or the vehicle.
What? Or the Roman god?
Or the Roman god, or the vehicle.
Could be the vehicle. Saturn view.
Get that Saturn view on there.
What cigar do you think I should smoke when getting it? I don't know. I mean, somebody whose cigar company has been around long enough that 69 years is worth celebrating with. That would be a Plasencia, a Padron. It would be a Milanio. I know Oliva's 135th is coming back, but I don't know when your birthday is. Man, the first person to really celebrate their 69th anniversary with a cigar is going to be Matt Booth. You know that. And it'll be from likely from beyond the grave. MN Drummer says, at least it wasn't a tattoo of Uranus.
It's fair.
That's his next tattoo. That's tattoo at 70th birthday. Oh boy. All right. Give me another comment, Billy, and then we're going to head over to the after party. We're going to head over in just a minute, guys, to Cigars Daily Plus. This is where we will continue this episode. We're going to eventually end it on YouTube and on Facebook and on X so we can continue it on Cigars Daily Plus. This is our own community where we can, you guys can go there to learn more about all of Dunbarton's brand new cigars, the Umbagog, the Wakashi, and the Stillwell Star. Aromatic number 22. And of course, this episode continues without the peering, prying eyes of big tech watching us and saying that what we do is taboo and that they don't like it very much. And so it's going to be great. Do go over there and create an account. It's free and easy to do. It requires your name, a username, an email, and a password. And that's basically it. You're in. Cal Erba says number 22 has pop tobacco in it, right? Yes. Everybody's a Southern accent tonight. I got to branch out. All of the Stillwell cigars are about blending cigars around pipe tobaccos. And so, yes, you can look forward to that. That's a big deal. The aromatic number one is a little sweet. And that one is probably the one that's the most similar to the Stillwell Star Holiday 22. So, yes, I would say that you would find that in all of them, but they're all very different from each other in the way that pipe tobaccos are very different from each other. Mm. All right. Jimmy says, why does the size and shape of a cigar change the taste? Here we go. A long explanation for a short question, and then we're going to go over to the plus party.
Tobacco ratio.
This is the analogy I like to give with this. When you make a cigar, you're dealing with whole leaves. Terrence, there's one on the desk behind my chair. Can you grab it?
Yes.
A tobacco leaf. It's very dry and very brittle.
Oh, why did you set me up like that?
Yeah, don't just be very careful with
it. He's going to root beer the.
He's going to make root beer
the hell out of that thing. You're like, oh, what did I do to it? So when you make a cigar, you're dealing with leaves. And it's very different than any other kind of like formula or recipe that you can use. Like, here's the example. If you were creating, thank you for ushering this in here this way. If you were creating cupcakes, you'd use, a cup of flour, two eggs, whatever, half a cup of sugar, whatever it is to make cupcakes. And if you wanted to make double the cupcakes, you could do that. You double each of the ingredients. Or if you want to make 25% more cupcakes than you would normally make, you just add 25% of each ingredient. But you can't do that with a leaf. Because the ingredients in the actual, and this is a binder leaf, by the way, the ingredients in the blend come from a half of one of these leaves. This would be the binder leaf. And then similarly, you'd have like a half a leaf of Ligero, two halves of a Seiko and like a Velado in there, something like that. Or a Viso rather. And if you're going to make the cigar a little longer, a little shorter, or go from a 50 to a 52 ring, you can't proportionately add half of leaves or proportionally take away half of leaves. So what they'll often do is just remove one of those leaf halves. And so what it'll do is it'll physically actually change the blend. Unless a guy goes through and actually blends every size individually and then has them separately rolled to achieve that, which what's, by the way, Steve Saka does. He does this with pretty much all of his cigars, so they all have a very consistent flavor. You do get that change in flavor from size to size because, you know, the Toro has an extra, you know, Ligero leaf in it. Or the Toro is a little smoother than the Robusto because there's another Seiko leaf, which is smoother than that Ligero, and it sort of evens out that punchy, peppery spiciness that the Robusto has because there's a higher percentage of Ligero. I hope that makes sense for you, but that is like the main reason that different sizes will have a different flavor when it comes to the same blend. Okay, that is all the time we have for the episode here, but I want to encourage you to stay tuned next week for another amazing episode and check out all the new Dunbarton cigars. You can learn more about them on Cigars Daily Plus, and we encourage you to go to Cigars Daily Plus, the community there. Join us for the after party and more of this episode. Otherwise, stay tuned for next Monday. This is Tim and the crew signing off, and we'll see you all next week.
And live your lives.
And welcome to the after party. That's a good one. Okay, we are here. We can say all the shit we want to say and do all the shit we want to do here.
Oh, shit, it's absolutely
beautiful. I love it. We're going to take your guys' comments just as we did before. But here's one of the things I want to tell you. At Cigars Daily and on CigarsDaily.com, we are so proud to carry the best damn cigars in the industry. And when Steve Saka comes out with something new, that's exactly what happens. Even if he releases it with those sons of bitches over at Cigar Dojo. by the way, at PCA this year, I had a very interesting conversation with, it was just me and Eric Gutemson from Cigar Dojo and Matt Booth talking to each other.
Yeah, that guy.
And if you guys ever watch Cigar Dojo, Eric Gutemson is not, he's not me. He's not Mr. Like, I'm excited at, like, about what I'm doing and my excitement shows and my hand gestures and my voice and all the voices that I do. He's a much more even-keeled guy. Very passionate about cigars, but a much more even-keeled dude. And it was just, the conversation was just Matt Booth trying to get a rise out of Eric Gutemson by saying the grossest shit I've ever heard another person say ever, which he comes up with off the top of his head.
Like what?
Like,
remember anything?
He's like, I forget what he said. Like, Eric was like, how are you doing, Matt? And Matt was like, I'm good. I've recently been like exploring my who I am and myself by inserting myself into myself.
Okay.
Very graphically described, shoving his fists up his own ass and trying to turn himself inside out. It was the best thing in the entire world. I couldn't get enough of it. Matt Booth is a great guy and he's a crazy guy. All right.
He's a great guy.
He's a great guy. My idol. I look up to him a lot. Okay. Billy, what are we doing on this after party? Feels like it's been forever.
Well, we're going to read some comments that eventually come in.
I've got comments. I got a bunch of them.
You got comments?
Yeah.
I guess this question will for you, because I've never known anyone that got a sketchier tattoo than you did. Wyatt Corey asks, who lets their clients smoke cigars while tattooing?
Nobody who wants to keep their ability to tattoo people. Like, if you've been into it in the shop of a tattoo artist, cleanliness is the like most important thing there. Now, as somebody who's gotten a CD tattoo in a place that I shouldn't have gotten a tattoo, I can tell you that that's really mostly here in America where they're like that. But like my tattoo artist, her name is May May. And if I'm going to get a tattoo, I'm going to May May. And she's award-winning, awesome, you know, booked months in advance. Great. She does my tattoos, all of Allison's tattoos, and she's a rock star. But she's so persnickety about cleanliness, you wouldn't be smoking anywhere near her giving you a tattoo. And I think if you got a good tattoo artist, that's how it's going to go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like you know
that was probably more for celebrating after that she got the tattoo.
That's for celebrating after your tattoo. Yeah. Smoke, light up a cigar, get it, let him wrap it. You know, let him put the Vaseline on it, let him wrap it up or whatever they put on the thing, Nivea cream, I think. And then light yourself up a good cigar and then talk to all your friends about which part hurt the most or whatever it is. Okay.
AZ Born Texas Living. Tim, any chance we might be able to get some of those shirts you are wearing?
Whose shirt?
My shirt? Tim's shirt?
Tim what shirt? The shirt that I'm wearing right here?
Yeah.
No, this is this shirt is from forever ago. Yeah. This shirt is from like year one of Cigars Daily. Listen, I absolutely hate clothing in the cigar world. Because I hate doing like trying to stock all the different sizes of things and track what's moving the fastest and everything. I hate that. And I should be good at it. Arguably, after doing this for as long as I have, this should be something that's sort of part of my whip. And you've noticed I carry everything in like a Robusto and a Toro. That's like that's my thing. Like I'm the guy that carries everything in a Robusto and Toro. And so if you like the torpedo, like fuck you. I don't know what to tell you. Like, I do a good job of tracking Robusto and Toro. If there's more sizes than that, it's frustrating for me. Let's see. I'm going to grab one more from Brenton. But I do intend to get t-shirts. I want to get t-shirts for you guys. And I'm thinking all the time about the right kind of t-shirt. And when I do get the t-shirts, you'll know, because I'll just be wearing one during an episode. And it'll probably say Cigars Daily on the sleeve and maybe have the Cigars Daily logo or have it somewhere in the front. But it's got to say something. It's got to be just right for what we all do together. And so, yes, that's something I intend to do. Okay. I see a few comments here, but do you have them on your screen, Billy?
I got one. I was going to pull that one Brenton put up.
Go for it.
Tim, you do an amazing job of answering the same questions with the same quality and enthusiasm the thousandth time as you did the first.
Thank you. I greatly appreciate that. It is actually, that's one thing that I regularly tell people when they ask me about starting a YouTube channel. I had this dude come to me one time. He wanted to start a YouTube channel. And his channel was going to be on our mission to colonize Mars, which I think is a great YouTube channel. And he told me when he did, this was like 6 or 7 years ago. He's like, yeah, I want to interview people and scientists and astronauts and talk about the technologies we're creating to go to Mars and all the stuff we're doing. And I told him then, I was like, just so you know, that's not what you're going to be doing. Like ultimately when you create content, your job is to answer the questions people are already asking. And those questions don't like change over time. They're the same questions in year one that they're going to be in year 15. And if you're not cool with that or comfortable with it or excited enough about the topic to answer, why does, you know, the same blend taste different in different sizes 1500 times and be excited about it, then don't do it. Go do something else. And I also told him, I was like, and by the way, you ain't going to be talking about fucking Mars. You're going to be talking about aliens. Your channel's going to be about aliens because you're going to interview an astronaut. And the next week, do a video on aliens. It's going to get 50,000 times more views than your stupid astronaut interview. So you'll never get to talk about what you want to talk about. You'll always be talking about what everybody else wants to talk about. The reason it works for me is because I love talking what everybody else wants to talk about. This is exactly how my brain functions, and I don't know why. Frankie Deuces says, we got a date yet on the Aganorsa collab? Yeah, that's supposed to arrive.
Oh, shit.
Terrence told me he was trying to fast track it to get it here in May. So potentially in a few weeks. And what I've been really trying hard not to do this year is have daily edition projects land on top of each other. But that seems like very well what may happen, because the next one that we're doing, the next one that I'm really excited about is the Oscar Valderez, The Earth by Oscar. It's an offshoot of The Leaf by Oscar, different than The Leaf by Oscar. It's its own line, it's its own brand and blend, but sort of in the same vein. It's got the same tobacco band on it. It's just a different blend, and we're kicking it off with a Corojo because I love what Oscar does with the Corojo leaf. And so Honduran blend with Corojo, called The Earth by Oscar. It's going to be a great, great cigar, and I've got a lot of those coming. And so that's one I really, really am looking forward to. And you guys will see me doing some Oscar-centric content when that one comes around. But the Aganorsa collab, that one's going to be a much more limited edition, limited run. The Earth by Oscar is going to be a full-time regular production cigar. My Aganorsa Daily Edition cigars are going to be like a single run one-time thing, and then I'm going to pick something else with Agonorsa to do, where I'm going to try to come up with a more full-time blend to do with them. So just so that you know, kind of what I'm, there's my scope of what I'm looking to do.
Is your goal just to have Cigar Dojo do a video of the 13 things I hate about Cigars Daily?
Only if it's them being jealous of me surpassing them in awesomeness of collaborative projects. Yeah, dude, absolutely. Like Steve even talked on the Facebook group about Leche Burra, the cigar that him and I are doing. When I say him and I mean he's doing, that he's making 4 cigars daily. Did you guys know that Steve Saka does all of the artwork, all the packaging for all of his stuff?
He does the artwork?
He does all of this.
Really?
He makes all this shit. Good like for him. This is all Steve Saka.
So like
the bands, the artwork, the packaging. Yeah, no, like he fucking does all this in Photoshop.
Oh, wow.
Except he's like what I do for Cigars Daily, because I do a lot of our graphic art, except he's good at it. It's amazing. Like I can't, like,
I would not have put him as an artist.
It's just another arena of things that he's just better at than I am. You know, and like it's amazing. I'm sincerely impressed by it.
He's been doing it all since the 90s, so it's all in his wheelhouse. So give yourself another 20 years and you might be where
maybe I'll get there. But I was talking to him about the Leche Burra, and I was like, so what do you want me to do? And he was just like, do nothing. He's like, I'll take care of it. I was like, okay, like do you want me to come up with like a donkey picture or is it like something we could use? He's like, do nothing. And he's like, I'm gonna do it. I said, I assume you have like a graphic guy. He's like, no, I'm going to do it. I was like, you're going to do this? He said, dude, I've done everything for Dunbarton.
Definitely has the, if you want it done right, do it yourself kind of.
You're damn straight. And if you notice that Jim is that way too.
Yeah.
Jim is like, so my business partner here at Cigars Daily taught me that early on. Don't ever have anyone do anything for you that you can do yourself. Unless you can't do it yourself and you need somebody else to do it yourself. And like, that's why Steve Saka is so overwhelmingly stressed out about like the cigar stuff, is because he does exactly that. But it's the reason that Dunbarton shits excellence. Like it legitimately is. And so I feel like I struggle to do that, to do everything well, but like I do things good enough that I wouldn't hire anybody else. Mm-hmm. And truly for me, I don't have another graphic artist. Well, I do have another graphic artist. You know, Josh does our promotional stuff, but I don't have a graphic artist doing a lot of logo stuff that I do, because I value the efficiency with which I can do it.
Yes.
I can do a job that's good enough in the amount of time that I think is appropriate for what the graphic art is, for the importance of the graphic art, right, for what the value that we're going to get out of it. All right.
This is from Nick. What is your opinion on the Macanudo Emissary?
That's great.
Yeah.
They sent it to me early accidentally, and I had it for like a few weeks before it came out. And so obviously we smoked them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's really good. The tobacco's from Spain, and I don't know what the deal is with all of that. Like why the tobacco, what's the nature of Spanish tobacco? You know, Honduran tobacco is different than Nicaraguan tobacco, is different than Ecuador's, than Brazil, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. I don't know what the characteristic of Spanish tobacco is. What I do know is, it does have a very nice, interesting, unique characteristic that no other Macanudo and no other cigar that I can think of has.
Yeah.
Like Terrence, you had it. What did you think of it?
I really enjoyed it. It had a lot more leather than I was expecting from the shade of the wrapper, and it just burns amazing almost every time that I've had one. I even got one from Jared, and he just dropped it on my desk, and it was a different size than what we have, and it was still great. And pretty spot on compared to the Toros and Robusto. So it's actually impressive.
Yeah. I didn't go really heavy on that one. We brought it in. I didn't go really heavy on it, and I'm glad I didn't, because no one was like waiting for it, excited for it, anticipating it. And it's on the expensive side. Do you guys know what they are?
I want to say they're going to be about $15 to $16 per stick.
That's a high price for Macanudo. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not $18, but it's still $15. But like, it's a good cigar. I wish I had more of it. I probably can get more. I'm sure they have plenty of it. All right. Jay Dilly Dilly says, Tim, you could call the event Cigartopia and the Mythical Island. That'd be dope as shit.
Yeah.
Cigartopia. I've never used Cigartopia for anything, but I think I have first use rights to it. So why wouldn't I do that?
I don't think it's copyrighted.
Probably not.
Not yet.
All right. And I saw one I'm going to say no to. Jay Dilly Dilly says, can we hear the story about LFD from the PCA booth? No, I'm not going to tell it online, but I will tell you this. I went to the LFD booth at PCA and I didn't open an LFD account. And for my own reasons, not because LFD is bad. Their cigars are great. I smoke LFD. They're amazing. It's not a no, it's just not a right now thing. And I'd have to talk with them more about it, you know? And there's probably a time and an opportunity when LFD makes sense, but I have to do LFD's way and not the Cigars Daily way. So it would have to be the right time to do it.
Mm.
All right. Ryan Dean says, ever consider using Bunker brand for shirts? Seems like low effort money. Yeah. And what I would say, Ryan Dean, about that is this: low effort money is also trash money. And if I can, I mean,
what's Bunker branding?
Like it's when you go to a website and you design all, you upload all your designs and then you put the shirts, like you put the design digitally on a shirt and you just make it like an Etsy website. And then people can come buy the shirts and the company prints the shirts and ships them for you. So you never actually touch the product.
So like drop shipping.
Yeah. You basically, your contribution, it's like when you have a baby, like your sperm is the only thing that you give. Like, well, when you make the t-shirt, the graphic art is the only thing you give. The company does the rest, right? So,
gotcha.
But they also maintain a larger portion of the profit from that because they really are doing all the work. They're doing the shipping, the fulfillment, they're doing the printing, they're doing all of it. They're stocking the thing. The thing I don't like about that is that when I do shirts, the shirts are going to be like, they're going to be fucking awesome. And I want to do it that way because there's a particular brand and fit of t-shirt that I love. That if I'm wearing a t-shirt, I want it to be this brand shirt. And so I won't do it until I can do it on this particular shirt. And those Bunker brand type things, I've done them before. And the shirts are always like, they're really good if you're going to make a website for like Father's Day shirts to say quippy Father's Day things so that, you know, teeny bopper girls can buy shit for their dads that their dads, you know, are going to laugh at for 20 minutes and wear for like one day and never wear. Or they're the t-shirt guy and they wear it every single day, but they don't care how it fits.
You're not going to do the Second Amendment t-shirt?
Mm.
No, I had a company in college with a couple of guys and it was called Second Amendment Shirts. And we literally, but that's what we did. We got the shirts in, we had them printed on, we stocked an inventory of Second Amendment shirts, and then we went to the gun shows and we sold them and we had a website and we did the order fulfillment. And that was that's the right way to do it, I think. But also, like, when you get into the t-shirt thing, that's probably the single most oversaturated market that there is.
Yeah,
I have to think like,
yeah,
everybody's got a clothing company. And because of these, you know, Bunker shirt, like upload your designs to a website thing. There are so, I mean, there's more of those almost. It's like realtors.
Yeah.
Like every other person you meet, every other person you meet is a realtor.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's everybody. Like
coffee is that way. Everybody's got a coffee.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, but with coffee, yeah, coffee is that way. Everybody's got a coffee brand. Everybody's got a thing.
So Tim, these t-shirts, are they going to be loop wheeled? What are we talking about here?
I want the same t-shirts that Fine Ash gives me.
Ah, okay.
So I always wear t-shirts from one of my competitors here in town, Fine Ash Cigars, which is owned by Sam Lopez and his wife, Rosie. And they're the best people in the world. And I love them. And they're online just like we are. And they have a great cigar bar over by the stadium. If you ever come to a sporting event here, you got to go to Fine Ash. But they've given me a couple shirts and I wear them in my videos. Now they give me shirts all the time because I wear them in the videos. But I love the fit of that shirt. I just do. All right. Paul Romero says, my dad is about to pass away from kidney and liver failure. We're really sorry to hear that.
Sorry, man.
His favorite band is Metallica.
Nice.
Should I smoke an M81 or an S84 to celebrate after his passing, to celebrate his life? I assume we're celebrating his life. I bought both and I'll save one for the date. Man, honestly, if you're just smoking one or the other, I mean, like, what kind of guy was your dad? Was your dad a light and hearty guy or was he a rough and rugged dark guy? I would smoke the cigar that would most remind you of his personality. That being said, if it was me, my dad was a huge Metallica fan, he was going to pass, I wanted to celebrate his life, I'd smoke both of those motherfuckers.
Yep.
I would. I would do a Saturday night, Sunday night, invite some guys over who knew my dad, hand out some cigars and smoke with them, you know? listen to some Metallica. That'd be the thing to do. Herfopolis from Gilbert. I don't like Herfopolis. That's weird. It sounds weird to me.
Sounds like a villain in a cartoon.
It sounds like the cartoon city where the cigar villain comes. So who's the villain in our cigar comic book that I just created in my mind? What does he do? He's
the FDA.
Yeah, he's the FDA. Yeah, his initials have to spell out FDA.
It's though. Like Frederick Doomsayer.
Yeah,
Anderson.
Yeah. Frederick Doomsayer Apocalypse. Yeah. And he just shuts down smoking events all the time. And our superheroes, our power is discerning flavor notes.
Not Billy's.
Billy's getting there.
I'm getting there. We're getting close.
Yeah.
This is from Chris. Can you sharpen a cigar cutter? My favorite one is getting dull.
I mean, they're all so different. They're all so different from each other. And I would say if you're really careful about it, you can try. It's really, really hard to do on these rounded blades. I'd be looking for something that, I don't know, there's not much you can do to sharpen them. If it's your favorite one and you've used it enough that it's getting dull, it might make sense to get another one. I'm sure it's a very nice one. It's probably expensive. That being said, with a lot of accessories, there is some planned obsolescence to this stuff, man. Mm-hmm. There just is. Like, it's just made to not last forever. That's why when you find something that does last for like ever, it's great. Like Terrence's
Calibri V cutter.
Yeah. That thing is just awesome. And so, yeah, anytime that you find something you love, if they still make them, maybe get yourself another one. Quickening said, would your arch rival be Tim? No, Am I the arch rival in the comic book?
No, he's asking who your arch rival would be.
Who would your arch rival be, Tim? Oh, my arch rival in the thing would have to be the villain. The FDA, but you have to have lots of villains.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can do it like, right? Remember the old Domino's? You had the Noid, right? It was, and he did everything he could to make the pizza bad.
It would
be like, you have the dryness.
It would be Dick Durbin.
There we go.
He's the guy. He's the,
yeah.
Is he a senator? I think he drafts all the anti-tobacco legislation that's been entered into to be voted on into law over the last, like, since I've been in the cigar industry. He's drafted like every single one.
You'd also have to have a Karen with a bag of McDonald's. Be like,
yeah, dude. She just shows up. She's like, that's bad for you. Yeah.
You're hurting my baby.
She's got a plastic baby. It's bad for the baby's lungs. Yeah, absolutely. God, I really want to do a comic book now. I bet you we could sell some comic books. I bet you probably. People would dive in for some
HabanoCon 2.
HabanoCon 2, man. HabanoCon Comic Con. All right, let's keep going. We would not be welcome at Comic-Con. Maybe we would. Everybody dressed up as Hellboy would be excited to see us.
Like, yeah. we'd have to bring a bunch of Gordos for them because, you know,
there's a cigar. Big guys. All right, go, Billy.
This is from Caleb Payne. We need more DTT mugs and new cutter. Is the daily edition with DTT? Delayed until 2025. Saw a Sokka post about it and wanted to confirm. Thanks, Tim and crew.
Yes. And I just want to be clear. The way I found out about it was by reading about it on Facebook with all of you.
Yeah, same.
So he literally posted, I hope Tim is okay with this, and we hadn't talked about it. Yes, it is delayed till 2025. But the good news is, you know, Sokka and I have had this habit of doing our like content together and stuff together every like October. So if you notice, maybe I think it's been like the last 3 years, if you include this year, Sokka comes out in October, comes into the studio, does the show. We do a whole month thing. And we were going to release the cigar that month and he's going to push it back, but I think we're going to still have it early next year, but also I'll find out on Facebook with all of you. That is going to be how it goes.
Wasn't that like the thing with Pulpetta as well? It was going to be a late 2023 release and then it ended up getting pushed to 2024. Or was that Red Meat Lover?
That was Red Meat Lover came out sort of when it was supposed to.
Okay.
Pulpetta didn't and the Unicorns didn't. You guys know I'll have some Dunbarton deals coming up with coffee mugs. Those are coming. So if you want to, just get yourself a handful of, you know, wagashis, and Umbagog Bronzeback and the Stillwell Star, just get like a few. If you're going to get a box, you might wait in it, but it might be a week or two, but I'm going to do a coffee cup deal. And I also have a bunch of Me Kitty the Black Unicorns. Going to be doing a Dunbarton deal with those as well. But I also ran two Dunbarton deals this weekend, so I can't like fucking slam another one down everyone's throat until, you
it'll
know.
It'll be all Dunbartoned out.
It'll be all Dunbartoned out. We don't want to do that. Can we really get all Dunbartoned out? Is it possible?
No. Maybe? Not necessarily. I feel like I crave a Dunbarton at least once a day.
Yeah. I do the syncopy for me so a lot. Benjamin says, so Terrence's description of the blackened cigars and flavor notes really makes me wish that I had a palate like that. Is there something you can do so you can achieve that? All right, I want to hear from everyone around the studio. Tasting flavor notes, getting into flavor notes. What was sort of the first thing that you tasted in a cigar, and how has your palate developed? I want to start with Ryan.
So I think we've talked about this before, but I think it's smoking with somebody like Terrence that has those, that, you know, can pick out those flavor notes. And like Billy has said, you're kind of smoking on it and you're like, okay, I'm tasting this and this at first, but what, you know, how do I can a taste you can't necessarily describe. So when you're hanging out with other people that do that, you kind of get those notes and go, like for mine, it was leather. It was that straight up leather taste that hits you a lot with a lot of cigars. But I think definitely smoking with people that can recognize taste notes, and then you can start recognizing those and what you would call those.
Is that, Billy, for you, is that kind of what you feel happen? Like
100%. Yeah. I just have to hang out with you and Terrence and say, what are you picking up?
And eventually you started tasting a little bit more of that. Now it's a little more attainable for you. It's easier to like, do you feel like you find like one or two notes in a cigar, or are you getting a little more complexity out of it?
I feel like I pick up cinnamon a lot.
Yeah.
I feel like that's an easier one to pick up, at least for me.
Baking spice type stuff. That's the ones.
Yeah.
I get I get those.
I think the cinnamon note and the baking spices note are very similar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And one person could say, I taste cinnamon. Another person might say baking spices, and the note you're tasting is the same thing. You're just describing them in a different way. Okay. Let's see. What else? What else we got?
Well, we've got to ask Terrence what he gets to get the Terrence palate.
No, you don't.
What have you done? What did you do?
What I did was...
It was your first cigar, wasn't it? You're like, oh, I taste baking spices and cinnamon.
No, no,
the
no.
The plums rolled around in the dirt.
No. My first year of smoking, I didn't get discernible flavor notes. What I did was I watched a lot of Tim reviews and other reviewers online, and then I was smoking out of like smoke shops and stuff like that, so I wasn't necessarily comfortable going into lounges just quite yet. And so... These smoke shops would have regular production things like Perdomos and Olivas and stuff like that. And I would pick up a 5-pack or a handful of the same cigar. And then I would watch everybody's reviews on them to then smoke alongside with it, read some Half Wheel every now and again, and try to see if I could pick up what they were picking up. Or if I got 3 out of the 5 people say they got this and then I tasted something, I would start assimilating it with that. And then I got to the point where I was looking for new things to be able to try a note that I haven't had before to see if I could then pick it out. Then I started getting more basic coffee, leather, creaminess that everybody gets. And then I just would sit down, like Tim talks about all the time. I sat down with no distractions and would just basically smack my lips every time I took a puff to then try to see if I could figure out the little subtle changes and the nuances and whatnot, to the point now I can sit here, have a conversation with you guys and be like, oh, hold up. It just changed a little bit.
Yeah.
So it took some work, and I genuinely, like, this is my only hobby, so I dedicated a lot of time to it.
Absolutely. All right. Where is this? Okay. I'm looking at something on my deal here.
So Terrence, would you say most people kind of do it that way? It's not like somebody just picks up a cigar and they're like, oh, this is what I taste. Like, you have to craft that, right?
I personally did, but there's also some people where I'll hand them a cigar. They'll like Billy said, when he let somebody try a Red Meat Lovers with them, they're like, oh, I'm tasting this and this. And you're just like, what the fuck is going on? But for me, it was something that I genuinely crafted, because I was like, I'm spending a lot of money on this and I want to get even more knowledge out of it. I want to get more enjoyment with these different flavor notes. And I was like, there's some cigars that I don't like, and I don't know why I don't like them. So I end up smoking cigars that I didn't like to understand why I didn't. And I think it is natural for some people, and it's something that I probably dedicated like 6 months of really hard work to. Like, I remember the first flavor note I ever got, and I just answered an email about this today, was the Gaia by Mbambe. That cigar, I smoked it, and for the first time ever, I was like, I taste orange from this. Like, it wasn't like the earth or a leather or anything like that. It was specifically like a citrus note. And then I let somebody else try it. They're like, oh, yeah, it tastes like earth and citrus and all of this. And I went back, had another puff, and it was still there. And then I went to a Milanio, and then I was like, oh, this is earthy. This is – and that kind of got the ball rolling for me. So it's not necessary. I think some people have the talent, and some people you have to work a little bit harder for it.
I see a couple of them on here. Brandon English says, first flavor note I tasted was almond in the La Aurora years ago. It came out really clear. And that's one of the things I think with tasting flavor notes that like really helps is when that first note that you get comes out really clear. It's like, oh, that's almond.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Like it feels like suddenly you can touch something you weren't.
I had the same thing with the Gran Habano 20th anniversary. Yeah. I lit it up and I was like, that is a fresh cracked pecan.
Yeah.
Like that's literally what I just tasted.
Chris says, Tim, how many cigars do I have to smoke to look as sexy as you? My bet is if you get someone to hit you in the face hard enough, you'll look sexy as me. And then James Anderson says, Tim, did you like the Gold Bar whiskey you tried at our table at HabanoCon? Somebody brought whiskey to HabanoCon. It was James. And it was really good. It was really good. Yeah, yeah. It was like great.
So how
really
do I get my hands burgers on this that day. Now?
What's that?
How do I get my hands on this?
Oh. He took a bottle. He took it with him.
Oh,
but it was literally shaped like a gold bar.
One guy told me to ask you about beef jerky he brought you.
Yeah, I connected with him, and I got his email address.
Okay.
Okay.
So I can order more of the beef jerky.
Sweet.
Yeah. All right.
The jerky beef.
Matt says, tasted cream once. Just one. Like I was drinking heavy cream. Can't even remember which cigar, but been chasing the dragon ever since. The good news is, I think once you taste a flavor note, if you're really like... you kind of know what you're looking for, you'll be able to find things like a little bit more accessibly. And there are certain cigars that have very characteristic flavor notes, like the CAO Amazon Brasilia Amazon is like chocolatey. So if you light that cigar up, you should be able to find some nice chocolate in there. It's really, really good stuff. All right, guys, I've blown through our time for tonight, but thank you so much for hanging out with me. And if you came to HabanoCon, thank you for coming out to that event. I cannot wait to do it again. We are going to have a great time coming up later this year with another big event. And hopefully I can do these twice a year and get better at doing them and make them more fun for everybody and even more worthwhile to come out to. And you, again, in the meantime, you can join us right here on Cigars Daily Live. We'll be back here next Monday night. This is Tim and the whole crew signing off. We'll see y'all next Monday.
And live your lives.